Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump must have some kind of guardian angel. He keeps coming out on top. It's sort of amazing. And this is really something. The timing is absolutely spectacular. On a day when Letitia James is hunting him down, going around trying to get his golf clubs and his golf courses in Westchester County, he makes billions of dollars, $3 billion. In fact, we're going to get into the Truth Social deal that I told you was coming. The merger, in fact, went through today. And on Monday, the new company is going to start trading under DJT. Earlier in the day, he said, hey, guess what? I have the money. We'll get to that. Plus, we get to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's going after House Speaker Johnson pretty hard. I'll show you the clip that has everybody talking. Kate Middleton, very sadly, has just announced that she has cancer. We'll get into that. And of course, there's the tragic news coming out of Russia, which is just devastating. Anyway, let's begin today. This is the Trish Regan Show on Donald Trump. We're brought to you in part, as always, by our wonderful friends over at LegacyPMInvestments.com. Go check them out. Give them a ring, 1-866-589-0560. If you're worried about inflation, as you should be, if you listen to this show, I warned you it was coming. You might want to give them a call because they will help you try and diversify your portfolio by owning physical gold. You can call them at 1-866-589-0560. So, wow. He must have a guardian angel. Donald Trump must have a guardian angel because on a day when Letitia James is trying to take him for everything he's got, considering that they leveled a $500 million fine on him, which is insane, unprecedented, and really, frankly, anti-capitalist and un-American for a variety of reasons, he springs back into action with $3 billion in his pocket. Technically, he doesn't have the money for 6 months, but still, it's got to be really sweet. It's like, take that, lady. You try and get me. Tag, you're it. Anyway, he today made a lot on paper, that is, on paper, because the SPAC deal, it's a special purpose acquisition corporation, Digital World Acquisition Group, or corporation, acquired Trump's Truth Social, the Trump Media Group. And they did so at a valuation that gives him roughly $3 billion because he owns 60% of the company. Now, as I've told you, you know what, you can't just cash out immediately. You got to wait 6 months. And he may decide he doesn't want to cash out in 6 months. Who knows? I mean, he might be actually on his way into the Oval Office again in 6 months' time. That would put us into, late September. But it is a big deal in terms of what's going on with Letitia James right now, because as she goes after him for $500 million, he's like, well, I got three. So there's more where that came from, lady. Let me share with you first his comment earlier in the day as this deal was going down and was going through. He's like, look, I get the money. I mean, the whole thing kind of stinks, right? Because I've worked my whole life to have money like this. He said, through hard work, by the way, he put this out on True Social, through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash, a substantial amount of which I intended to use in my campaign for president. The often overturned political hack judge on the rigged and corrupt AG case, he's making his view known, where I have done nothing wrong, I sort of agree with him on that, knew this, wanted to take it away from me, and that's where and why he came up with the shocking number, which coupled with this crazy interest demand is approximately $454 million. I did nothing wrong except win an election in 2016 that I wasn't expected to win, he writes, did even better in 2020, and now lead by a lot in 2024. This is communism in America! Exclamation point, the whole thing in caps. You get the picture. He's not very happy. Not very happy at all. None of us should be happy. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to talk about America taking a turn in a really bad direction. You want to talk about a group of people being in charge and trying to annihilate anyone whom they do not agree with. This is an example of that, ladies and gentlemen. Letitia James is a prime example. Let's be very clear. She's trying to get him for everything she can. We can talk some more about the deal. We can talk some more about what's expected of him. But first, I want to remind you what he is up against. Okay, you need to understand the psychology of these people. Do we have the clip of Letitia James when she was running for office? Well, first of all, she's like, oh, it starts with her on CNN saying, I don't know why he thinks I'm going after him. And then it moves forward to exactly why he knows and we know she's going after him. And I'm telling you, if she can do it to him, she can do it to you. And that's why we all need to be concerned. Let's play this one.
The President of the United States has complained that I'm engaging in some sort of political witch hunt, that I've got some personal vendetta against him, that I campaigned against him. That is not true.
This illegitimate president who sits in the White House.
That president, because he's not my president, he's an illegitimate president. His days are numbered. His days are numbered.
We've got to get ready to mobilize, and we've got to get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won, but more importantly, until Trump is defeated.
We will all rise up and resist this man.
And ultimately, we'll bring him down.
This illegitimate president, I'm going to give you the same level of respect that you gave to President Obama, and that is absolutely no respect at all.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey.
Disgusting. It really is. I mean, we should not be in a place in America where prosecutors are elected, DAs come into business and into action because they are promising to go after someone. Think about that. And then leveling fines, which are so egregious and so outrageous. I kept saying this thing cannot get to the appellate court fast enough. And that was before they had any fines. That was just when it was a case, because I'm looking at it going, this is not really a case. Like, where's your victim? Okay, where's your victim? There is none. There's absolutely no victim in this. In other words, the bank got paid back. The shareholders made money. Everybody was the richer for it. So you mean to tell me because somebody thought his real estate was worth more than Letitia James thinks it's worth, $18 million. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Even CNN, I played this clip yesterday. CNN's out there saying, yeah, well, it's probably $250 million. This is what Bloomberg is now saying, $240, $250, whatever it is, it's not 18, okay? And Letitia wants to go forward with this. Well, we think it's worth $18 million. And so somehow Letitia James gets to decide. I'm blown away. I'm disgusted. I'm outraged. You know that. I've been talking about this for weeks, but I think it's kind of like sweet justice in a way that on the same day she's showing up with all her little paperwork to go to his golf course in Westchester County and try and take that, seize his assets, he scores $3 billion smackaroos. I mean, wow. Really? Wow. Let's watch Letitia saying she wants to seize his assets. She's going to go after him for everything he's got. If he doesn't have that $500 million, come Monday, she's going after everything. Watch.
4 days after a judge ordered Donald Trump to pay $355 million for a decade of fraud, New York Attorney General Letitia James says she's prepared to do everything she can to make sure the former president pays his fine, including, she told us, seizing the buildings that bear his name.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court, and we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Excuse Except, guess what, Letitia? I think he's got the money. I think he's going to be able to write you a check for what was the number? He put it up there. Drew, I think we've got the graphic again from Truth Social. $454 million. Oh, well, this is how much he just made. Thank you for putting this one up, Drew. Digital World Acquisition stock price, it soared today up to the closing level of the deal expectation, and this just made Donald Trump $3 billion. So DWAC was the old ticker. You know, a lot of people didn't want this deal to go through. That's why when you look at this, can we see it one more time? Because when you look at that early on in the stages, guess what you see? Look how it was trading around 10. It went public at 10 bucks a share. That's how the SPACs work, right? You basically get a group of investors together and they get their share at 10 bucks. So they're going to make money as long as it trades above 10, they're going to make money when it comes time to cash out if they want to approve the deal. So this is exactly what happened. So it was trading around a little above 10. It got up then above 20. Check out that number. Look at how it flew just way up, and you can see the day that that happened, because a few Fridays ago, I want to say it was around President's Day weekend or shortly thereafter, we got news that Donald Trump got the approval from the SEC. Like, the SEC was driving him crazy. I talked to Devin Nunes about this over at Truth Social. Devin's probably having a party today. Again, he's got to wait 6 months, but Devin's like, why? Is the SEC giving us so much trouble? It's like, well, duh, you're having a hard time. None other than because of who stands to make the money. Right? You're the outcast over there at True Social. They don't want you. I mean, for goodness sake, they don't even want Twitter right now. Or X, I should say, right? Because Elon bought it. So this is the redheaded stepchild. And it just flew when the SEC finally said, okay, you can do the deal. So what had gone on behind the scenes, a little inside baseball, was the SEC was worried that somehow the group of investors came together and they knew all along that they were going to go after Trump's social media group. And so they said, well, DWAC was being incorporated and put together with the explicit purpose of going and buying that. And the way these SPAC deals work, you got to get the capital together first, and then you go out and look for a deal. So you can't actually have the deal in the back of your head before you have all the money, and then you go out and raise, you know, and figure out what you're going to do. And so they were trying to say, oh, you knew you were going to do this, you knew things. And then eventually it was proven that no, they didn't. No, they were going to do this, and they were just, I guess, trying at the SEC to give Donald Trump a hard time because they certainly didn't want him to make $3 billion, and that's what he did today. So as of next week, DWAC is no more, ladies and gentlemen. DWAC becomes DJT. Dun-ta-da! DJT is the ticker symbol that the Donald Trump social media company, Truth Social, will trade under. Now, is it a good investment? Well, you know, I'm all about long-term investing. It's why I started 76 Research with my friend Rob Horton. Listen, if you haven't gone there, I'm going to put this in the chat right now for you. You've got to go over there. You got to sign up. Get the 76 report. This is, it's really, 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 you know, I would not steer you wrong. I've wanted to do this for a long time. I really have. And I've talked to Rob about it for a long time because we've known each other. We've been good friends for a long time, and we see eye to eye. You see his little picture right there. I'm going to get him on the show one of these days. He's a little bit camera shy, but he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I like to think I'm pretty smart when it comes to investing too. And, you know, I began my career in finance before going into financial news. And so I've seen how stocks get treated from the news cycle perspective. I mean, he's seen it as a fund manager. He's managed billions of dollars over the years. And we really felt like institutions are not doing their part. I mean, they're just not, right? Institutions have their biases, whether it's the media institutions, whether it's government institutions, whether it's the Wall Street institutions. They are also biased. For goodness sakes, when it comes to Truth Social, guess what? The bias of Wall Street. Nobody would even bank this. No investment banker was willing to take this company public through this SPAC merger, right? It's like a hot potato. Nobody wanted anything to do with it because they were so worried because, well, it's Donald Trump. Well, think about what they're willing to do, okay? ESG City, environmental social governance on steroids. I remember talking to Rob like this was back in 2020, maybe like April of 2020. It was right around the time that Trump was smartly filling up our SPR, our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, with oil that was much needed. And by the way, you're never supposed to use except in case of emergency. But he's like, heck, you know what? Oil's trading at 20 bucks a barrel. I might as well fill it up. And all the Democrats went crazy and said, this is nuts. This is nuts. How dare he? He's just giving his oil friends a handout. I'm like, no, no, no. Oil's $20 a barrel. That's when you want to fill the SPR, ladies and gentlemen. And the Democrats were going crazy. Well, guess who wound up using that oil? And he shouldn't have, because it's supposed to be there for emergencies. None other than Joe Biden, when, sure enough, gas prices started going so high after he came into office. And he was freaking out because everybody was freaking out. I mean, we're all still freaking out. We're still reeling from the inflation of the Bidenomics disaster that has been the last 3 years. So sure enough, he goes and taps the SPR. It's called Strategic Petroleum Reserve for a reason. Like, you're only supposed to use it in emergencies. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? You really ought to send Donald Trump a big thank you note for that. But the reason I bring this up is because Rob at the time, who was running billions, said, you know what? I wanted to buy shares of Exxon at that time, but he couldn't because of ESG requirements. In other words, Exxon was persona non grata. Well, if you're seeing oil company trading at a valuation that you know is probably a really smart valuation, if you're going to hold that thing long term, don't you want to be able to buy it? And yet no Wall Street analyst would tell you this? Think about that. So this is why we created 76 Research, because I'm sick of it. As to whether or not you're going to buy DJT, here's what I'm going to tell you. And this is not stock advice. You know, you do your own thing. I want to at least just get this out there. What do I think is going to happen with this stock? I suspect it's going to act as a little bit of a proxy. These are going to be individual investors that buy it because, again, you know, Wall Street's not going to go near it. They're not going to want to touch it. And they're looking at it, understandably, rightly so, as, okay, well, how much is this company earning? And it's just not earning a lot of money right now. And it's got some hurdles to get through because there's other bigger fish out there, so to speak, right? Elon Musk's Twitter, for example, is a bigger deal. And so they're going to look at it and they're going to say, well, you know, there's a risk that Donald Trump's going to sell his shares. I think he's going to have to at least sell $500 million worth, right? Because he wants to put that money back in his bank account that Letitia is going to take on Monday. So that's going to be a little bit of a drag on the stock. But I think a lot of everyday Americans are going to come and they're going to be involved in the stock market and they may buy a share of this and they're going to buy a share because maybe they want to support him. And so I think that's what's going to sort of support the stock in the near term, whether or not it continues trading at this level. It's anyone's guess. I think long term, it's pretty complicated. Because if he doesn't stay really, really active with that, if he goes back to the White House, you know, look, there's still the reality that Twitter's the bigger game in town. We'll just have to look at the earnings, right? And you also have to think about earnings in light of this climate where these companies like Disney don't want to invest in social media platforms that they don't think fit with their woke agenda. Another example, by the way, of a company that you should have sold 3 years ago when it was trading at $200 a share, because look at where it is now. I mean, they brought Bob Iger back thinking he could save things, but he's just kind of continuing on with the mess that is. And the reason you're never going to really be able to save Disney unless you just clean house is because the employees at Disney themselves. Look, I mean, they came out in their annual report in September and they admitted, we got a problem here because you see our product is not really seen as core and in line with what our customers want or think. And that's because Disney employees and creative departments have a social agenda. I mean, when you're picking people based on whether they're gay or straight or male or female or trans or whatever, as opposed to just picking them for their talent, which is historically what we used to do, right? Because we want to be a meritocracy and you want diverse perspectives, but you're not going to go out and say, I'm just going to hire you because, you know, you have a different color hair or you have a different preference in terms of your sexuality. I mean, like, I'm sorry. Like, can't we be beyond that? Can't we be better than that? So Disney's got a real problem because they can't get out of their own way in that sense. But guess what? Bob Iger, ha ha, good luck now, because Nelson Peltz, who tends to be more on the right side of things than on the left side of things. You may know him because his daughter is married to the former Spice Girl. What's her name? She's got a fashion line now. Her husband is a soccer player. Help me out. Beckham. Victoria Beckham and David Beckham. Well, Nelson's daughter married their son, Nicola Peltz. Nelson is more conservative. And he's looking at Disney and he's like, hey, wait a second. You know, this is a company that could be great if they would just get back to doing what they used to do, which was make good, entertaining content. But they don't know how to do that anymore, you see, because they're tripping over themselves with all their woke ESG nonsense. So that's a great example, again, of a company that is not able to get out of its own way. And this all sort of relates back to what's going on with Donald Trump and DJT, which is going to start trading on Monday. So watch share prices there, because I'll be very curious to see. Wall Street doesn't want to go near this thing. And I have reservations on the earnings front, et cetera. But I do think that there's going to be an emotional attachment to this stock that you don't typically see, right? Like, you just don't typically see this. And there's going to be a lot of support from people that are coming out of the woodwork. And they're saying to their brokers, hey, can you buy me DJT? I want to buy DJT. And so I'll be curious to see it if this is sort of like the polls. I remember watching Ivanka Trump's company, the fashion line, very carefully when her dad was first running for president, because a lot of people obviously didn't like him then and they didn't like her as a result. And thus her fashion line started getting dropped from stores like Nordstrom's and, you know, these other places, Lord & Taylor, etc. And they were dropping it because she had become kind of a lightning rod. But what I found out was that a lot of women that liked her and liked her dad were secretly wearing her perfume. So her perfume sales were up, right? Because you can wear a little Ivanka Trump perfume, but, you know, maybe not have her brand all over you. So that was an interesting play. And you wonder to a certain extent if DJT, the stock, becomes that. Again, I'm not saying you should buy it, but I'm saying I'm going to watch this one very carefully. And I'm going to continue to report on it for you. I think that the company does have its challenges, for sure. But I think that there's going to be just a buoyancy from the public that you continue to see surrounding Donald Trump all the time. And if nothing else, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's really terrific to say, Letitia, take that. It's like a giant F you to New York City and to the judge and to Letitia and to the rest of them. And I would say that he's got someone upstairs looking out for him, because the timing is fantastic. Fabulous. Doesn't get any better than this, really and truly. All right, let's move on to another story here. I want to get to Candace Owens. Candace Owens is fired from Daily Wire? Now, I like Candace, by the way. But you know what? She wasn't really seeing eye to eye with some of the folks at Daily Wire. This is Jeremy. Jeremy, the CEO, brilliant guy. I love it because he's taken on Disney himself. They've got like a whole other programming arm that they're doing. It's really cool. Bent Key Productions is the name of that one. And he writes, Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. So it was kind of short, curt, you know, that's the end of it. And it's done. So there's a little bit of backstory going on. But before we get into that, just to remind you who Candace Owens is, I mean, you probably know, but she was fantastic recently. I showed you this clip. She totally took down Chris Cuomo in an epic way. Drew, let's cue this one up for everyone.
You also have to recognize that Tucker just went over and interviewed Vladimir Putin. And this is significant, because then you saw what it looks like when somebody not only has the mental faculty, I mean, irrespective of what you thought about the interview, mm-hmm. you cannot... You are forced to acknowledge that he's an incredibly smart person. I mean, he started in the eighth century.
I think that it is not good that you're using Vladimir Putin as some type of positive attribute metaphor for a leader.
That's not okay? That's not what I did at all.
Well,
you're saying he's smart.
He's smart.
So why would you not acknowledge someone smart? What does that do? Does that make me a Putin supporter? Because you're clearly smart.
No,
if you can sit down and unpack Russian history
from the 8th century,
what do you mean? The point is to say that the entire world can now see this contrast of a man who can't remember what happened 2 hours ago, who mm-hmm. still thinks that his son is alive, sadly, and often brings up his son as if
that's
he's still alive.
True. That's not true.
What is not true?
See, look.
What is not true, Chris? Actually say what is not true.
You're really going to say that Joe Biden believes that his son Beau is alive?
He has done that on camera. He has said
he has misspoken as an old man that is talking about something that hurts him.
Listen to you. No, because see, Chris.
Listen again.
There's no reason to do this. You're doing so great. I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. Like
listen.
What? No, seriously. There's no reason to do it. Obviously, Vladimir Putin is intelligent. There's no reason. Doesn't make you anything.
Okay, and it's great. She's like, hey, buddy, you know what? You were doing okay. I'm not going to let you do this to yourself. So that was one of my favorite lines recently. Anyway, Candace is out at Daily Wire. And I suspect a lot of this, and she's alluded to this, comes down to a difference of opinion between maybe Jeremy and Ben and some of the other people within the organization and how they feel about Israel vis-a-vis what's going on in Gaza. And I imagine that became kind of a sticking point. And while they certainly are wonderful about recognizing diversity of opinion at Daily Wire, I think that there really was just sort of a fundamental difference between the groups there. And so now Candace is going to do her own thing. And you know what is great about the day that we live in? She can do her own thing. So I applaud her. You know what? We can all do our own things. Reminder, subscribe. Give it a like, share, do all that good stuff. Make some comments, join our live conversation. So Candace, because of the environment in which we now live, ladies and gentlemen, she's her own thing. She's her own brand. She doesn't need any bigger organization. I mean, hey, look, it's helpful occasionally. Drew and I were putting in some new camera equipment today, right? Like, it's helpful if you have people who can do all that stuff for you. And look, I've come from an environment where you'd have 40 people working behind the scenes, and then you'd have another 10 to 15 there on the editorial team, and everybody's, you know, furiously at work and doing all kinds of things and very specific jobs. You get a graphics department, you get a music department, you get a lighting department, and you've got all of that good stuff. Now, they don't have as big an operation at Daily Wire, but the truth is, you don't need it. Okay, you really don't. I mean, as long as you're willing to put up with my audio occasionally going in and out, and you guys are great about telling me, make sure you continue to do so. But listen, the truth is that all of this is so accessible. And so Candace, you know, we'll see, maybe she'll join the Tucker Network. And then Tucker can take care of all those tech things for her, right? And marketing and this, that, and the other. But truly, you don't need it. And that's what I find to be incredibly liberating and sort of beautiful about this particular moment in time. And also, it's scary for the establishment. It's challenging. Not to belabor the point on 76, but again, just because I started this company, I'm super excited about it. In talking with Rob, you know, he was talking with the fund manager overseas in Europe yesterday about this and telling him about it. And the guy's like, gosh, you know, the retail industry is really, really important for investing, right? Everyday investors. And they're so underserved because you have institutional type research that's coming from the top that gets filtered down to maybe your broker who's buying you stocks, who's then trying to interpret it for you. And I'm like, but wait a second, like, why is it going from here to here? Especially when up here often is just talking their own book and their own biases. Let's bring it straight to the people. It's kind of like this show, right? Like, it's straight to you. I'm not complicated by lots of varying interests, literally, behind the scenes. And so I think this is the wave of the future. And for Candace, that's what she's going to have the opportunity to do. And not that Ben and team was, you know, complicating things much. Again, I think that, you know, they're probably better than most, for sure. But if you really do have a difference of opinion and you feel inhibited or as though you can't actually articulate yourself truly the way you want to, then guess what? Don't worry about it. Go do your own thing. And the best talent will. The best talent, like Ben, right? And Jeremy, who's brilliant over there, they've been able to use their combination of Jeremy's business skills and production background and Ben's intellect. He was a former classical musician too. And they've been able to have a really successful venture. And then they've brought in other talent, which is really neat, right? Michael Knowles, who was on the show recently, was a former opera director at Yale. Like, we bonded over it, opera singer here. So I think that that is a big part of this future. So look, Candace is a talented woman. I don't agree with her on everything. And I'm sure she wouldn't agree with me on everything. And Ben clearly didn't agree with her, and Jeremy didn't agree with her. But you know what? She's going to be just fine. She's going to do great. And we wish her all the very best. You know who may not be doing very fine or very great? Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, there at Capitol Hill in Congress. He's coming under new fire, and I'm just saying, boy, the Republicans, I want them. I need them. I think we all got to get on their case to try and bring themselves kind of together, right? Because there's an election coming up. Thank you very much. And it's an important election that we need to win. We need to win, because even if Donald Trump wins the Oval Office, if he doesn't get Congress, if he doesn't get the Senate, he's going to have some problems. It's one of the reasons why I'm so happy that my friends over at Americans for Prosperity, terrific organization, recognizes this. And these guys are doing everything they can as we speak behind the scenes to make sure that we get the House and we get the Senate. In other words, you can only do so much with the Oval Office. It's not the be-all, end-all. You got to make sure you have the rest of the kit and caboodle. And these guys recognize this, because things like ESG, things like the border, things like energy prices and inflation and all of this, they matter. Bidenomics has not worked. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. Everyday Americans know that. The Bidenomics department, led by Joe Biden, can't quite figure that out. They keep saying, oh, it's working, it's working, it's working. He can't get that it's not working, because he doesn't understand what it's like when rents are up more than 20% since he came to office, or mortgage rates have climbed 66%. Forgive me, not rates, mortgage payments. The average mortgage payment is up 66%. Food prices are through the roof. Energy prices are through the roof. So even if inflation overall is only up 18%, guess what? If wages are only going up 15.3%, that's a spread difference right there. Plus you factor in everything like housing and food and energy, and you got yourself a real, real disaster. So that's what Biden doesn't get, but AmericansForProsperity.org, they get it. And they want to make sure that that doesn't happen. So go check them out. Consider joining that. Sign up. Get their information. This is important, guys. We got a lot to do. I mean, like, you know, a lot of work to do. Part of the work that we need to do is come together. And that's kind of hard, because there's, again, lots of institutional biases out there. And Marjorie Taylor Greene's like, hey, you better not approve this budget. You better not go for this, you know, Joe Biden's insane budget, which I'm telling you, it's insane. Go watch yesterday's clip. We put that out there about what Janet Yellen wants to do with taxes. She wants to tax the living daylights out of people. And God forbid, you might actually have some paper wealth. Like, you know, Mar-a-Lago might be worth $240 million. She wants to charge you 25% of that, even though you haven't sold it. I mean, it's crazy. It's un-American. Once again, it's like they all want to become socialists. I feel like I'm living in Atlas Shrugged, for goodness sakes. So we need to come together. Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to push the issue here. I want you to see the clip. She's taking no prisoner. She wants Mike Johnson out. I mean, I just don't know as we can go through this again. Here we go.
Week long. Do not break the 72-hour rule. He heard from all of us. He heard from all of us all week long. Allow us to introduce amendments. Allow us to do our jobs. Allow us to represent the districts that voted for us and sent us here. We want a secure border. And the Senate proposal of legalizing 5,000 people coming across the border every day is not securing the border. And this is giving up every point of leverage we have. Also, forcing Republicans to vote on full-term abortion funding in order to fund our military is a complete betrayal of all of our values. And our voters don't want us to be doing that.
What does the process of finding a new speaker look like?
When do you plan to call this resolution to the floor?
Again, I don't have a timeline. That will be a rolling issue that we'll be judging and making decisions by. But I assure you, I'm not the only one. I have support on this from others in my conference. And it's not, I'm not introducing this to throw the House into chaos. Committees will continue doing their work. Investigations will continue. I support my conference. Again, I have paid all of my dues to the NRCC and then some. I support Republicans holding the majority next conference, but we need a Speaker of the House that knows how to negotiate, knows how to walk in the room, knows how to hold the line, and knows how to defend America first and the values and the policies that President Trump will bring to the next.
Wow. So I don't really disagree with her on any of that. And I'm not sure where this is really going wrong for Mike Johnson. If I had to pick another Speaker of the House, I think we ought to give Byron a call. Drew's friends with him. We got to get Byron back on the show. You guys love him, I know, because he was rumored at one point to be Speaker of the House. Maybe they should have gone that path. Mike Johnson, I mean, I just don't think it's right or fair to dismiss people so quickly. I think that we got to find a way to work together on this. I think he's got to find a way to work together with her on this.
Liberty and justice.
With him on this. And I think we've all got to find a way to make sure that our values are protected and our country is protected. So no, you know, the 5,000, I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. What we really need to do is, put up a wall. I'm sorry, but like that was just stupid to take it down. And not just the sort of virtue signaling of the wall itself, but a real system that can work to bring people that we want here, that we know can come in, that have good backgrounds. Not everybody has to be a rocket scientist or have a PhD. Okay. We need workers. We need tons of workers here. So we just need to make sure that they pass various security checks and that we know they're here, right? I mean, we got to know they're here. You can't have millions of people that you don't even know are here. I mean, to think that the Biden administration spent your money shuttling 340,000 people to various places all through the country because what, they want to fix things for the census? In the middle of the night, they flew them all over the place. I mean, for goodness sakes, if Texas does that and sends them to Martha's Vineyard, everybody freaks out. They send them to San Francisco or New York or Chicago. Everybody freaks out. But the Biden administration is allowed to send them in the dead of the night without even telling anybody because they think it might ruffle some feathers. Please. There's something really amiss here. Something really wrong. I mean, when New York City has to say, you know what, we can't allow the migrants to stay for 6 months in the hotels anymore. I mean, rent free. Look, we're a nation of immigrants. But remember, when we all came here, and look, everyone's family came from somewhere. Mine came from Ireland. When we came here, you didn't have a lot. You didn't have anything. You know, maybe you had some family. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had to rely on your community and your church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be asking taxpayers to fund something that taxpayers can't fund. Like, we just don't have the money. I saw the video yesterday. I'm not going to play it for you because it's probably going to... it might annoy a few people, but this video is unbelievable. Maybe we'll do it on Monday. I want you to see it at some point because there's this incredible video of just the border getting stampeded by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of migrants. And our border patrol is completely being overrun. And you look at that and you say, there's something really wrong. Like, how can this be actually happening? It shouldn't be happening. And we need a better system. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is right on that. And somehow we got to find a way to work together. Look, we don't have a big majority. I mean, we've lost a few. George Santos, you know, being one of them. That's a guy that should have been vetted, right? And then you've got the other guy that just unexpectedly resigned. Mike Johnson was taken by surprise. He shouldn't have been taken by surprise. I mean, again, this is one where you got to do what you can to kind of keep the team corralled. And I hope he can do it. I think it's a hard job. McCarthy tried to, but McCarthy was not very good at that either, let's be honest. So, you know, look, Marjorie is on the money, but at the same time, we got to make sure that we don't cauliflower nose despite our face, right? You know that expression. So Marjorie Taylor Greene putting Mike Johnson in the hot seat saying, you know what? You're going to be out. You might be out. Thank you for the nice comments on my red shiny shiny outfit. Hey, you know what? After this, we're going to do something for just the team members. So if you haven't signed up as a team member on YouTube, do that for me. We're going to have just a little private conversation. I promised that yesterday, and it's something I want to start doing for the people that have really, I mean, you guys are the ones that tell me when my audio's off, right? We'll do that coming up. My heart goes out to Kate Middleton. I got to tell you, I'm not a big royal watcher. I'm not really into it. I feel terrible for her because she's a mom like me of three, like me. And she got some really horrible news, and she shared it with the world. She's in the unfortunate position of being in such a public space that she has to share it with the world. The world was kind of ablaze with all these different conspiracy theories, and it was really sad to see. But she finally came forward, and she announced that she has cancer, and she was just sort of seeking the right time to tell her family and to tell her children before it became entirely public. She had wanted to wait until Easter, but because, of course, these rumors were off the charts, she did finally come forward. She doesn't look great, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very sad. We don't know what kind of cancer, but I want you to hear directly from her.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body and spirit. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
Oh, she's pretty amazing. Just really a pretty amazing woman, and she's going through a lot, so she does deserve some privacy. And I think it was important that she came out and did that. You know, it's got to be awful. And anybody who's been through that in any way, shape, or form with a loved one or as an individual, you know how that is. And so in honor of giving her that respect, we certainly will. But we can confirm, she just confirmed, she's being treated for cancer. She's in the early stages of preventative chemotherapy, and we are wishing and praying for the very, very best for Kate Middleton. Also, our prayers going out to people in Russia tonight. We are learning that 40 people have died in this horrific attack, in this shooting there outside Moscow, when gunmen opened fire. They're killing at least 40 people, including some children. So again, our hearts go out to all of them. Just horrible times that we're in this kind of state right now. It's tough. It's tough to see. But you know what? We got to stay focused. And this is an economic and political show. And we have, for all of us in the here and now, some really important weeks ahead and months ahead, because we as a country cannot be dealing with policies like we've been dealing with. And it brings me back to Bidenomics. It brings me back to inflation. It brings me back to the border, and it brings me back to our First Amendment. And by the way, our Eighth Amendment, right? This little thing right here, the Constitution. I'm wondering if the Supreme Court of the United States is going to have to weigh in on Letitia James. As I said, it can't go to appeal fast enough. But the good news is, if we're to believe what Trump is saying, he's got the money. He's got the $454 million. Absolutely outrageous. And there may be more where that came from. More where that came from because of Truth Social. Just unbelievable timing in this. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's like sort of... like, wow, it's sort of perfect in this bizarre way. So, you know, the SEC is holding them up, and they wouldn't allow this merger to go through. And then finally they came forward and said, okay, it's going to happen. And then on the day that Letitia goes to grab his golf course in Westchester, boom, it just so happens that the deal finally gets approved by shareholders. And what do you know? He, on paper, just made $3 billion. Billion. Hey, oh my goodness. We got a super chat here. Thank you so much, Scott, for your support. It's great to see you guys supporting an individual creator like this. So thank you for your generosity, Scott. He's pointing out that 1,700 people are in here. Let's all thumbs up for Trish and show her how much we appreciate her hard work. So thank you for that, Scott. Yes, guys, give it a thumbs up. Please do give it a thumbs up. Consider joining the team. We're going to have a private conversation over there. Leslie, reading what you said. Some people, Letitia, never read the Constitution. I don't know how she made it through law school. You know, they get their own version of the Constitution. Bob, thank you for your kind comments. He's mentioning that my makeup looks stunning. Thank you for that. We've got some new things going on in the studio, so that may be helping out. But I appreciate that. I'll never turn down a compliment, by the way, which brings me to just giving a quick shout out for one of our other wonderful sponsors on this show, Balance of Nature. I've been taking this stuff, I got to tell you, for the last several months, and it's been fantastic. I take the veggies and fruits capsules, and I love it. And you know, I mean, like maybe, you know, I'm thinking it's just me, but then I saw that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have written in over the last 20 years to the company. It's all on their website saying how great this stuff is. And now, again, that's one thing. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's just me. And then they have all these like testimonials. But then I get a call from my kid's music teacher the other day, one of their music teachers. And he's like, Trish, oh my gosh, I was listening to your podcast. I didn't even know he listened to the podcast. I didn't even know that. I told him he's going to watch it on YouTube and join the conversation. Anyway, he's like, I was listening to your podcast, and I see that the Balance of Nature is on your show, and I love them. I've been taking Balance of Nature fruits and veggies for years. And I'm like, seriously? And anyway, so it was just sort of funny because I'm like, I thought it was just me, but clearly it's not just me. It is good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So I really encourage you to check it out. If you have a gluten allergy, you don't have to worry because it's gluten-free. It's got all good stuff in it. And you get a chance to get all those vitamins that maybe you don't otherwise absorb. I'm really bad about my fruits. I like vegetables, but for some reason, I've told you this before, like if I'm going to have something sweet, I want to go for the full shebang. I'm like, give me the big piece of chocolate cake with chocolate frosting. Thank you very much. I don't need the strawberries and raspberries. I mean, I like them, but you know, if I want something sweet, I want something sweet. So anyway, I'm finally getting all my proper vitamins thanks to Balance of Nature. And I've got a great deal for you if you are so interested and you want to feel as good as me and my kid's music teacher. Guess what? You can get 35% off Balance of Nature right now, plus another $10 off, plus free shipping. I think this is the best deal of anyone out there, but you have to use code word Trish. So don't forget that. It is code word Trish, and it is 1-800-246-8751, 1-800-246-8751, or go to the website, Balance of Nature, put my name in. I get, you know, thumbs up from the company because they know that you're listening. And that's what they want. They're advertisers on the show. But I don't do any advertising for anything I don't believe in. And I believe in this. And it's not just me. It's thousands of people. It's somebody local in town. I was cracking up when he told me that. So I encourage you guys to try it too. Wow, there is a lot coming up next week. Again, we're going to be over in the private conversation for the YouTube team members momentarily, but we got a lot coming up. I do actually want to bring my dear friend Rob on the show because I want him to kind of do some of this sort of basic stuff. So many of you guys have questions, sort of financial planning questions, and I thought that might be fun to do. So we'll get him on. We want to talk about what's happening with DJT. DJT, the stock ticker cracks me up. He had that stock ticker once before. Not a great omen because it was his company that went bankrupt. That was the casinos in Atlantic City. But DJT will be interesting to watch. Again, not making any calls here. I think we got to immerse ourselves in the financials of the company, but there's going to be an emotional attachment. So be aware of that. That is unusual that you don't really see with other stocks. So there's a chance it could become one of those sort of meme stock plays in a way. David, yes, we're going to do that. Okay, so I will meet you guys over there. Don, thank you again. I love all that you do for the show. Don Baca, everyone who is always telling you to hit the like button, to share, to make comments and all of that stuff, because we've got a lot that we need to communicate about right now. I'm going to see you over the weekend with different clips. I might even be live, and I'm going to see you on Monday live. Anyway, again, thank you for all of you. Make sure you subscribe. If you're not a team member, become one, and we're going to go there right now. Thanks.